I'd like you to begin by turning to Scripture. Turn to Luke chapter 18. It's a very important question that Christ posed to his disciples that we're going to read. One that is important for us to consider and that we're going to consider in this message today. Luke chapter 18, we're going to read verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Talking about God. But the question he asks is, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? When Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? We can make that more personal and ask ourselves, when Christ returns, will he find me faithful? Will he find you faithful when Christ returns? Whenever that occurs, will you be faithful? The Bible is full of warnings about God's people developing a lack of faithfulness. The world in general, certainly, being unfaithful, but also God's people becoming unfaithful. And it's something that we really need to consider closely. The easy answer, if someone asked you, are you faithful? We'd be, oh yeah, sure, I am. We all want to be. But part of the reason we're going to look at the subject today is to make sure that we are looking at ourselves with the depth that we should with regard to this. That we're looking at all of our lives, all of our actions, all of our relationships, and seeing whether we really are faithful. I'm sure that you can come up with a list of indications, a list of examples of things that show a lack of faithfulness. Within society, the rate of divorce, the number of people that are having affairs. In fact, there's a website, at least one, dedicated strictly to people who want to have affairs. There's a lack of faithfulness in our society. You can look at the way our government acts. Members of Congress, actually, I would consider go to the president as well, acting in an unfaithful manner, tied to those who give them money, tied to those who get them reelected, more than tied to what is right and wrong, doing what is right and wrong. But they aren't faithful to the people who they serve. They're faithful to themselves. Look at business, and certainly the financial industry, where so many people are focused on getting money for themselves, gathering as much wealth as they can to themselves, regardless of who it harms. How many other people are harmed along the way? Certainly those are a few examples of unfaithful behavior. Now, on the other hand, if I ask you to give me a few words to define faithful, I'm sure you could write down a few, you could come up with a few. Words like dependable and reliable and consistent and loyal and steadfast. Things that we would all agree are aspects of someone who's faithful and are aspects of faithful behavior. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 20 for the next scripture that we're going to look at. Proverbs chapter 20. And again, unless we take this too lackadaisically, unless we set back on our own belief in our righteousness and say, now this sermon doesn't have a lot to do with me because I'm faithful. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, we read, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful person? God inspired this because while we all would like to proclaim our own goodness, there's probably areas where we aren't as faithful as we should be. Something that God takes very seriously and that we need to take seriously as well. This topic of faithfulness. There are three things that we're going to do today, three parts of this topic that we're going to look at. Certainly one of them is just looking at what is faithfulness. How do we define faithfulness? What does the Bible have to say? Because that's where we go as Christians to define things like this. That's where we go to look at, to answer the question, am I faithful in all things? Or are there some things where I'm not as faithful as I should be? We're also going to look at God's example, what the Bible tells us about God in relation to faithfulness. Because He and Christ are our examples, what we should strive for. We will never reach, as physical human beings, their example. But we strive to become more like them all the time. And also, how do we put it into practice? How do we live a more faithful life? How do we live as a more faithful Christian? So we'll start, again, as I said, by looking at how the Bible defines faithfulness. What the Bible tells us about it. Because that's the standard. First of all, maybe you've all thought of this, faithfulness is a fruit of God's Spirit. Faithfulness is a fruit of God's Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. We've got a familiar section of Scripture that defines, that talks about the fruits of the Spirit, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what is produced by someone in someone who has God's Spirit actively working in them, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Verse 23 continues, good gentleness and self-control. Faithfulness is a God-level quality. It comes from God. God, the Holy Spirit is God's Holy Spirit coming from Him. And what's really interesting about this, as God talks about faithfulness, He says true faithfulness can only be practiced by someone who has His Spirit. Only by someone who has the Spirit. It isn't something that you're going to run into, at least in its entirety, the people in the world. I think just like many other things, many other parts of Christian life, Christian qualities, people that God hasn't called, that aren't, that don't have His Spirit, can touch on some of them, can show shadows of some of those qualities. But to truly be faithful, the Bible says you have to have God's Spirit. And we can only become more faithful through God's Spirit working through us more directly, more powerfully. A closer contact to God. And an aspect of His Holy Spirit, it only comes to us if we submit to God. If we allow Christ to direct ourselves. Christ, as with everything else, is the example of someone living a human life and a faithful person. The word that we just read that is translated faithful is a Greek word. It's pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. But it means strong conviction. Strong conviction. Another definition that I came across was that which is firm and can be counted on. Godly faithfulness means you can be counted on. Means that you are firm. We'll read some other definitions that talks about someone that's faithful doesn't jump all over the place. They don't vary in the way that they live their life, that they approach Christianity, they approach their relationship with God, they approach the rest of God's people. There's a consistency, both in day-to-day, how they act, and how they treat all of God's people. Because we can be very inconsistent as human beings in how we treat different people that have been called into God's church. Those that we naturally have a relationship with, we can be faithful more easily to them. It's the people that aren't, that we don't have that natural affinity to, that Christ was faithful to all of us, and we all, we very few of us really have a lot of, what's the right word to say? Our relationship with Christ is because He helps us and strengthens us. It isn't like we have a natural affinity to holiness until we have God's Holy Spirit. But that aspect of faithfulness being through the Spirit, being firm, being counted on, being unwavering, and without variation, is part of what it means to be faithful as a Christian. Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We'll read verse 18. Someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works." Paul then said, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Paul is saying, faithfulness means taking action, doing something. We show faithfulness by what we do. We can all talk a big game, talk a good game. You talk about how it should be and how we should be and how this applies to us. But to truly be a faithful Christian, we have to actually do it. We have to go from head knowledge to heart action. To something that becomes part of us. And we can believe and we can say that we're faithful, but in the end, our actions have to back it up. Our actions have to be in line with what the Bible has to say, what were some of the things we're going to look at. There's a good example in Daniel. Daniel, in many ways, is a great example for us, but certainly in this, in relation to this topic. So I'd like you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read just a small part of the story of Daniel, beginning in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these, over the 120, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. So there was an organization, there was a leadership structure, a tree. Each one of the governors, I'm sure, were responsible for 40 satraps, whatever position they were in. Maybe they're mayors now. Verse 3, then this, Daniel, distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm, over the whole kingdom. Daniel distinguished himself because there was an excellent spirit with him. In verse 40, why the other people didn't seem to just think that was a great thing. The governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Politics isn't a new thing. Politics happens all through humanity. But they could find no charge or fault in Daniel because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. People were looking to find something to point at Daniel, some way to reduced him in standing with Darius. Some fault that they wanted to find and hang on him. And they couldn't. And the Bible says there were two reasons why they couldn't find anything. Two reasons which also were the reasons that he caught Darius' eye. Because there was an excellent spirit in him, and because he was faithful. He said what he was going to do. He did it. He was all of the things we just talked about as far as the definition of faithful. It's how Daniel lived his life. In the midst of this pagan government, in the midst of all of those people trying to find fault with him, he was faithful. And think about how that applies in our own life. Many of us have probably been in situations where we had people accuse us of things that weren't true. Not all the time. And I'm thinking of my own experience as well. But a lot of the time, what happened is they were able to take something innocuous that you did and twist it to make it look difficult. Make it look bad. Make it look like it was an indictment against you. And I when I read what the description of Daniel and I thought about myself, what it said about Daniel was he didn't even do things that gave them an opportunity to twist what he did to make it look bad. Which is pretty incredible when you think about it. But Daniel is a human being, which means we can be that faithful, that steadfast, that unmoving, that committed to God's principles. That, again, excellent spirit is what allowed Daniel to be faithful. Are we faithful? Do we let a little bit of carnality, you know, seep into how we do things once in a while, and that opens the door for someone to use it against us if they want to. So to get back to this definition of faithfulness, it is a fruit of the Spirit. It also, another part of the definition is faithfulness is honesty. Part of that definition of faithfulness is that it is honesty. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. We'll read beginning in verse 11. 2 Kings 12, beginning in verse 11. They're talking about something that happened during the reign of King Jehoash, he's not noted for anything specific, but it's during his reign. Verse 11. Then they gave the money which had been apportioned into the hands of those who did the work. They're talking about rebuilding or repairing the temple. Who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. They paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to masons and stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damage to the house of the Lord. For all that was paid out to repair the temple. However, there were not made, this is kind of inset, it doesn't really have to do with what we're talking about, but however, it was not made for the house of the Lord basins of silver trimmers, sprinkling bowls, trumpets, and any articles of gold or articles of silver from the money. So they're talking about how the money was used, who it was given to repair the house, God's house. And verse 14 continues, they gave it to the workmen, and they repaired the house of the Lord with it. Moreover, they did not require an account from the men into whose hands they delivered the money to be paid to the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. These men, the men that were put in charge partially because they were honest. Because they had part of their reputation was that they were honest, that they dealt faithfully with people. They dealt faithfully with people. That honesty was part of how, was why they were called faithful. And again, we're talking about the definition of faithfulness, honesty being part of that. So another scripture that mentions that in Proverbs chapter 14. So we'll read Proverbs chapter 14. And we'll read verse 5. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will otherwise. Someone who's faithful, a faithful witness, is honest, tells the truth. And again, I hope hopefully we all try to live our lives with honesty. But it's also easy at times to fall away from that. We're not careful. To not be completely honest in our the answers we give sometimes. Or I don't think there's anyone here that cheats people. I think we have that problem. I'm gonna hope that is the case. But honestly, you extend beyond just whether you try to rip someone off when you have a chance. It's how you live your life and your commitment to being truthful. And truthful and honesty isn't just in what you say, it's what you do. Does what you do truly reflect what you say you believe in? Or is there not a complete matchup? An honest person, again, a faithful person, someone who you know what you can expect from them all the time because they say this is what I believe and then they live it that way. They live it. We live in a suspicious world. And it's not surprising because Satan has warped things so much that most of the time you expect someone to try to treat you unfairly, to be unfair, to be unrighteous. We live around that suspicion and we have to be careful. When we're dealing with God's people, that we don't allow that suspicion to become part of how we deal with each other as well. This is, I believe, a haven for us. This family that we have here, this congregation, is a haven. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean that we don't hurt each other or say things. But there's not malicious intent. When you come here, and we have to make sure that we recognize that in the way that we treat each other. The Bible says that when we go into the world, we have to be wise in our dealings because we can't trust people. But we shouldn't bring that distrust into our relationship with each other. Think of all of the troubles that we've had, the big troubles, the big problems within organizations, splits, people getting mad. Think of how much of that was based on two Christians believing the other person was standing in front of them and lying to them. That's what it comes down to. That there was that distrust and disbelief. And I recognize that all of the leaders, all of these people are human, and they certainly can not be completely honest. But to approach a relationship with the idea that everything that person says is a lie is satanic in its influence. And it's exactly what Satan would love to see here locally. That you approach, you get that disillusioned with someone that you don't believe you can trust them. And you aren't honest with them. And you aren't faithful with them because of some hurt, some slight. And we just have to be on guard against those kind of things of allowing Satan's attitude to become part of God, the body of Christ. it's important that we act faithfully to each other. You know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. If you want that to be coming back to you, then we need to, you know, each of us needs to treat each other that way as well. So in relation to this, again, this is something we need to look at ourselves with. Am I honest in all the things that I, in all of my dealings, am I honest in this way? Am I steadfast? Am I faithful in the way that I do things? Do I always speak the truth? And even beyond that, do you correct errors you make when you see them? Most of the time, I think we try to. But if those interpersonal errors, that a lot of times we don't correct the way that we should, we have difficulties making it work. One of the things that I've seen happen so many times in my life is two people will be at odds with each other. They will, things will be said. You know, you get a little angry, you start to say things, you maybe start telling other people things that you, what you think about this person, how they treated you, how they mistreated you, how they hurt you. And it becomes public, all these accusations. And then you find out that you were wrong. You didn't have the whole picture. The person wasn't doing what they were doing because they were out to get you or they were out to hurt you. And you think it's big of you to go back to the person and apologize to them, which is big. But what doesn't happen is there's no public recognition that I moved up. All those things that I told you about this person were wrong. And I'm sorry that I misled you as well. The accusations are public, and the repentance is private between the two people. And so the damage is done, but it's never really taken care of with everybody else, because you did a lot of damage, and you're not faithful enough. I think, again, this is a level of honesty and being faithful. If you do something like that, you have to be honest and faithful and go back and tell everyone that you moved up, which I think should make us very careful about what we say about each other and how we treat each other. So, again, some things to think about what it truly means to be faithful in relation to honesty. Another part of the definition of faithfulness, another aspect of faithfulness, is that it means dependability and reliability. We talked about this a little bit already when we talked about steadfastness. And that was certainly part of Daniel's example. He was reliable. He was someone you could count on. We'll look at a couple more scriptures that deal with this aspect because I think it's important to look at and see what the Bible has to say. One of them is in Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. In verse 26, now this doesn't say faith, doesn't have the words faithfulness, doesn't have this have dependability in here, but there's a principle at work in Proverbs 10:26. Proverbs 10:26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy man to those who send him. Someone who isn't dependable, a lazy worker, is just an irritant. You can't depend on that person. They aren't faithful. They irritate everybody. If you're in a work environment and someone isn't pulling their weight, it affects everyone. And it is an irritant. It's like they said, vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. It just grates on everyone because they're not faithful, because they're not dependable. And God expects us to be reliable. He really does. Because we expect it of Him. He wants that same thing from us. We believe God is faithful to do all that He's told, all that He promises. We can depend on God. So, again, ask ourselves, am I dependable? Am I? Does this aspect of faithfulness, being a faithful Christian, reflect in how I live my life? Or do I say, sure, I'll take care of this, and then you don't? Or I'll help you, and then you don't. Or there's so many different ways that you can talk about how each of us at some point in our life probably hasn't been dependable. Ask yourself, are you? Another scripture that we'll look at is in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25, verse 13. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. Or he refreshes the soul of his masters. A faithful messenger. Someone who you can trust to say, to deliver the message exactly the way that you gave it to them. How many times in your life have you talked to someone about something and you were fairly plain about what you said and what you meant and how you believed it, and that person goes and tells someone else something completely different, completely off the wall from what you had said. You know, said, well, this is what Harvey said about this subject. This is what he believes. This is, obviously I've had that happen to me a few times. I may have done it myself. I haven't had anybody come over and beat me over the head and say, hey, well, I didn't say that, but it's certainly possible that I've done it as well. A faithful messenger. When you speak for someone else, which is what the messenger, this verse is talking about, someone who's speaking for someone else, do you truly speak for them, or are you speaking for them, for yourself, and using their name, putting their name on it? Another aspect of being dependable. If someone tells me this is what someone told them, this is what someone thinks about this, I want it to be what that person actually believes. I want to be able to count on that. So faithfulness, an aspect of faithfulness is dependability. And one more aspect of faithfulness is loyalty. Loyalty. I'll go back to Daniel and his example. I don't know that I'm going to read any verses there, but we know his story. He was faithful to God. He was faithful to God's commandments. He was loyal to God and His commandments. He didn't put what Darius wanted in front of God's commandments. He didn't put protecting himself when it came to a choice between what God said to do and what Darius commanded had to be done. He was loyal to God completely. Now again, when you look at why they couldn't find fault with Daniel, I think that loyalty was again part of the reason why. Part of the definition of faithfulness that he lived was loyalty to God and His commandments. Daniel I don't even know if he was tempted, really, to compromise. I don't. He was human. I'm sure he had his own battles. But if he was tempted, he quelled it pretty quickly and did what God said to do and was loyal to God and His commandments. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. We'll jump in the middle of the parable of the talents here. Just read a couple of verses. Matthew 25, we'll begin in verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more besides those. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. As this relates to us, I think of it as Christ saying, you know, I really don't ask you to be faithful over a lot of really complex things. I try to make it simple, the things that I want you to be faithful over. Love. Love your God, love me, with all of your mind and heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I ask you to be faithful over just a few things. Those things, which the Bible says all of the commandments hang on. God didn't try to make it really complicated. We make it complicated on what it means to be loyal. And Satan makes it complicated, tries to make it complicated. But God said, I really just asked you to be faithful in a few things. I've condensed it down to a couple of things right here. Now, the whole rest of the Bible will give us examples of how we do that and help track is there to help us to achieve those things. But he said, you're faithful in just a few things. I am going to be ecstatic with you. I'm going to say, well done, because you've been a faithful servant. So we shouldn't overcomplicate this. But, obviously, we need to live those two things in a way that most of us, all of us, struggle with, from time to time at least. Loyalty is an aspect of faithfulness. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 17.
Oh, this isn't the one that I thought I read.
Well, this is the one I read and intended to read right here. There's a scripture that says a friend is faithful. This talks about a friend loving at all times, but it's not the one that I meant to read. Proverbs says a friend is faithful at all times. And that means that they are loyal. A true friend is loyal. True friend is loyal at all times. That doesn't mean that you whitewash, you know, that you think everything your friend does is just the greatest thing, the best thing that's ever happened, that you never say that you don't think that they walk on water. But you're loyal. In other words, you always try to have their best interests in mind when you interact with them. That you put their interests in front of your own. True friend is loyal even when we're kind of hard to get along with. You know, I think that's really one of the key things of a faithful friend, a loyal friend, is when we're at our worst and they still are friends with us. And when you find a friend like that, you need to hold on to them because it doesn't happen that often. I think it can happen more with God's Spirit within the church. But even then, there's so many things that affect true friendships like that. I mean, even Christ said, John, but I don't think John would have written it if it wasn't true, that he and Christ had a special relationship. He was most loved. But a true friend is a loyal friend. And as I said, that doesn't mean you whitewash everything that your friend does. Proverbs 27 has something to say about that. Proverbs chapter 27, And verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. When a friend tells you something that stings a little bit, when a true friend does it, it is part of their loyalty, part of their being faithful to you, to recognize that they have a relationship where they should be able to say, hey, you really need to think about this. You need to, have you thought about this in this way? Are you really sure that's what you want to do? That's how you want to approach this? That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. That doesn't mean it's that you enjoy being told, hey, you're goofing up here. You're making a mistake here. But when it comes from a friend, it is an aspect of faithfulness, of them being a faithful friend. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 15. I think we're going to read a few verses in Psalms 15. And I think that in many ways this summarizes that the description of faithfulness that we've been reading summarizes a lot of the aspects of faithfulness. So I thought it's kind of all in one point, one spot, we'll read it. And I'm going to read the verses 1-5 from the New International Version because I just like the way that it said things a little bit more than the New King James, which is what I normally read. Psalms 15, beginning in verse 1. A Psalm of David. Lord, who can dwell in your sanctuary? Who can live on your holy hill? I think in relation to what we're talking about, you could say, who's faithful? Who do you consider to be faithful? Then he answers in verse 2, he who walks, whose walk is blameless, and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, and has no slander on their tongue, who does their neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on their fellow man, who despises the violent but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Or, again, I can paraphrase that, he who does these things is faithful. Because these are all aspects of someone who's faithful, who lives their life as an example of a faithful person. So, these are just a few scriptures. There are hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that talk about faithfulness and different aspects of it. Hundreds of scriptures. And again, just like so many things, if you're interested, it's a Bible study. It's a Bible study for a week, probably, to really look at this, all that the Bible has to say about this. But I want to go on beyond definition and look at some scriptures that talk about how God is faithful as that example for us. So let's begin by turning to chapter 36 of Psalms. Psalms 36, verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. He's saying, your faithfulness fills the earth. Your faithfulness encompasses everything. All of our existence, which is what the earth pictures, our existence, God's faithfulness fills it. His faithfulness encompasses everything. And that's who God is. Everything he does, every action he takes, every part of his plan is a reflection of faithfulness. Faithfulness to his creation, faithfulness to us, to each one of us. The way he works with each one of us, he's faithful. We can count on him, we can trust him. Another scripture is in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Part of the description of Christ is the faithful witness. He's a faithful witness for us. The Bible talks about him being there to reconcile us to the Father. That he suffered so that he would know how we suffer. He's a faithful witness. He tells God what we're going through. And in that way, he's also a faithful friend, because he's talking to God not in a way that tries to bring harm to us, tries to make God think less of us, but to help God understand why we did the stupid thing we just did. He is a faithful witness. And it actually, that's so much a part of his character that it is literally one of the names that he calls himself by. In chapter 3, we'll turn to chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, which is Christ, beginning Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Christ says, I want that as part of my name, the faithful and true witness. Just like in Isaiah, where it lists things that Christ wants as part of his name, Prince of Peace, all of those things. He also says, part of who I am, part of what describes me, is the faithful and true witness. Christ wouldn't expect us to be faithful if he wasn't. God wouldn't expect us to be faithful if he wasn't. They both are. Another scripture that talks about that faithfulness is in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we'll read verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. Faithful to a thousand generations. Faithful forever. God will keep his promises. And not just, I'll make a promise to you. So yeah, sure, I'll keep the promise to you. No, I'll keep the promise not just to you and your grandkids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids, but for a thousand generations, if I make a promise to you, I will keep it. That's how faithful God is. Look at a few more scriptures. And again, I know you know these things, but I think it's important as we look at this to just realize how much this is a part of who God is. Who God and Christ are. It's not a light topic. Turn to James chapter 1. Chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No variation. God is steadfast. He's dependable. He doesn't say something and say, oh, yeah, I changed my mind. I promised this yesterday, but, I really don't feel, I'm not feeling it today. So I think I'll do something different. There's no variation. Or, when it says, or shadow of turning, it's even, there's not even a little hint. He doesn't even, isn't that he is going to go down his path, but maybe just lean a little bit one way or another. If he's going this way, this is what God is going to do. And he's going to make it happen. There's no thought of turning aside. Another scripture is in Hebrews chapter 13. 13, and we'll read verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, dependable, loyal, faithful. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change, and we can depend on him. Then one final scripture in relation to these scriptures that will talk about the attributes of God in Christ is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I should say one final scripture that we're going to read because there's many more. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 13. Now I mentioned a true friend is loyal even when we're at our worst. Well, this really says the same thing about Christ and about God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, we are without faith. If we are at our worst, we're not being loyal. We're not obeying God's laws and his commandments the way that we should. We're not doing what we should. He remains faithful. If we, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. And I think that last phrase is very important. He cannot deny himself. Part of his name is the faithful witness. He can't deny himself. Being faithful is part of who he is. It's built into him. It's part of his character. It isn't something where he has to stop and think, well, am I going to be faithful or not? It's just who he is. Do we have any kind of faith that's approaching that? And I hope we, maybe I hope we can say in some areas, yeah, I don't have to think about being faithful in this way, in these things in my life. I don't have to think about that anymore. God's Spirit has written that into my heart. The trick is to get it to be everything in every aspect. But when God says he's going to write these things in our heart, that means we don't have to just give up and say, well, I can never do it. It means if we let it happen, he will. He will make it just as Christ said he can't. He has to be faithful because he can't deny who he is. We can be that way too. Not perfectly, but we can approach it. We can be faithful. One of the hymns that we sing is, Great is thy faithfulness. Just read that. Again, it's a description of how God is faithful. How God is faithful. And he wants us to be faithful as well. He wants us to become that way. And actually, I think he challenges us to be that way. He expects us to be that way. He expects us. God expects us. He says, I know you can. And I want you to do that. I want you to see this as being important. And I want you to become faithful, truly faithful, Spirit-led faithful. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Let each of us consider themselves as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's how we're described. Servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that you be found faithful. Everyone sitting here is God's call. God is working with you. He says, I've made you stewards of the truth. I've made you stewards of a way of life that most people don't get. I've made you stewards of an understanding that most of the world actually thinks is foolish. There's a responsibility that comes with making you a steward. And that is that you be faithful. You be faithful to my vision. You be faithful to my commandments. You be faithful to each other as stewards. He says, I expect you to be faithful. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. We just have a couple of scriptures to read here, and there won't be in Revelation. I'll make the end of it easy for you. First one is in Revelation chapter 2. And we'll read verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Do not fear any of the things you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is going to throw some of you in prison. And we know that is out there in the future for most of us. I mean, that possibility isn't now, but it is out there in the future. You're going to be tested. You're going to have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There is a recognition that it's important. Be faithful unto death. For as long as you live, don't get tired. Don't get lazy. Don't say, oh, I'm too old. Don't say, oh, I'm too young. Don't say, oh, I've got my whole life to live, or I've lived my whole life, or this or that, or whatever. Don't make an excuse. Be faithful until you die, one way or the other. Live your life that way. Live your life faithful. Don't let it come or go. And the one final verse is in Revelation chapter 17. Talking about the very end time. Verse 14, Revelation 17, verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him, those who are with him, are called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. Those who find themselves with Christ when he returns, called, chosen, and faithful. And it's interesting that the first two of those, we don't have any control over. God calls us. We don't call ourselves. God chooses us. We don't choose God. But it's faithful that we have a choice, that we have control over, that we have a say in how we live our life. But it is the faithful that are going to be with Christ at the end. So, this is important. It's very important. Are you going to accept this challenge, God's challenge? Are you going to look at all of the different parts of your life, all of the relationships, all of the things that you do, and look at it from the light of faithfulness and see whether there are areas where you need to focus? Are you going to answer the call? Because faithfulness is the foundation of our relationship with God. It's what he starts the relationship on his side with, is faithfulness. What he expects us to reciprocate to him is faithfulness to him and to our brothers and sisters. And we don't truly reflect God. We don't truly reflect Christ unless we are faithful. Unless we meet the standard of faithfulness that comes from letting it be through God's Spirit. Not faithful like the world might be faithful, but faithful the way that God is faithful. It's not easy. It's not light. carnality, Satan's influence, the world that he's built, all try to pull us away from being faithful. Try to make it so that we are tempted to follow and respond to that society rather than follow God and respond to Him. But this is the fruit of the Spirit, which means we all have the opportunity, have the ability, have access to be able to be faithful, to be strong in that way, instead of that. Great, great, great is God's faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. How great is yours? How great will it be? How great will you strive for? And probably more importantly, what's going to be the answer? When Christ returns and He asks, did I find faithfulness on the earth?